Oh, groovy, baby.
Come with me if you want to live.
Oh my god, we are back on air for Big Show 200. Can you believe
Woo-hoo!
It? Yes.
You know, we have more than doubled the number of episodes of the original Star Trek series.
Wow.
Sorry, bad running joke.
Yes, that's okay, though. My name is Mal. With me, as always,
Promi.
And this is, of course, the Radio St. Pete exclusive Indie Circuit, where we talk about things that are who no one cares about and play music. So, wow. 200. I can't believe it. It seems like you've only been here a week or two, and it's been 200 shows.
Yeah, and I've been a part of at least 6 of them now.
Yes, exactly. Don't worry. Onward and upward, man.
And yes, so, the Star Trek thing is a inside joke that just I won't let die.
Yes, well, don't. You should never let that die. It's from our olden days. We had this show that we ran for a lot of years called A Bunch of Dorks. Actually, it's still all the archived shows are still on. If you go to bunchofdorks.com, there's 3 podcasts on there. The top one is my still current Slow Robot A Go-Go, where I talk about all crazy B-movies that you'll be like, you watched that on purpose? And then the middle one is about comic books that I have nothing to do with.
Two-dimension podcast.
And then the very bottom one is this Bunch of Dorks that ran for 10 years. And I finally called it quits when I lost my computer from a hacker. And I said, you know what? I'm done with this. Because that one was kind of petering out. We weren't doing it like enough that it mattered for anything. So, you know. So that one was fun. But, yes, that's where the joke originated. Because I think when we got to 77 or 78, you're like,
yeah,
isn't that the number?
We've now matched the original, you know.
Because at the time, Man With No Name was with us every weekend. And he was a big Star Trek fan. And then it just kept going from there. You're like, now we're like 1.25 of Star Trek.
Yeah.
So, fun stuff for everyone. And you now.
By which we mean no one except Promi. But
and now it's your joke, everyone. So keep listening, because
yes, I will be dusting it off frequently.
200 is a cool milestone, man. That's a lot of shows.
Yeah.
This is actually the first show I started doing with the Radio St. Pete corporate headquarters. I went in with my "will work for food" sign, and they said, "Well, we weren't going to give you any food, but you can work." And
we've got a pack of Mentos over here in the corner that have been there for a couple of weeks.
And I grabbed
one
and said,
"Somebody's desk that was let go." Yeah.
And I grabbed one and said, "The fresh maker," and I started talking into the microphone and never left. Wow.
Many a career has started that way, I believe.
Me too. Here's some music for your butt.
Silence. Earthling, my name is Darth Vader. I am an extraterrestrial from the planet Vulcan.
See you. Hey, it's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico.
On a mysterious island in the South China Sea, there is a fortress without walls, protected by an invincible army that needs no ordinary weapons. This is Enter the Dragon, the first martial arts film produced by a major Hollywood studio. John Saxon, U.S. Karate Champion Jim Kelly, and Black Belt Hall of Fame superstar Bruce Lee penetrate the secret chambers of Han's evil empire, discover its secret, and destroy. This is Enter the Dragon, where the world's greatest martial arts athletes meet the ultimate challenge with the most ancient and deadly of weapons, the human body. Enter the Dragon. From Warner Brothers, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Boring!
Dad, we can't see the movie.
I can't believe we're paying to see something we get on TV for free. If you ask me, everybody in this theater is a giant sucker. Especially you!
Alright, that was The Black Watch from The Gospel According to John, which was a July 2017 release. I played Whence, Way Strange World, and The All Right Side of Just Okay. So make sure you check out The Black Watch on Facebook. They have, of course, the stuff, and their pictures there. There you go. Shameless Promotions. That's who hooked me up with them. A lot of bands I play are from Shameless Promotions. They have a lot of really
They're great, shameless.
Yes, but they have a lot of great music. So check out The Black Watch. Do not confuse them with The Black Witch, because that's just Harry Potter world or something. I don't know what that is. So do you play a lot of music at your house? Like, do you try and fill your house with music for your kid?
It depends. When he's around, I do fairly regularly. By myself, I'm finding myself to be kind of a peculiar person in that I really don't pay a whole lot of attention to my own environment when I'm alone.
Huh.
I like music and I listen to music in the car.
Like ambient music,
but I don't normally put on ambient music at home when I'm by myself, because I just don't even think about it. I wouldn't even think to do it when I'm home alone. Just like I don't think about like the pictures on my walls or you know, that pile of clothes on the floor. You know?
You should think about that.
I mean,
the neighbors are starting to talk.
If it's something I have to walk around, if it's something that requires me to make detours or I don't have enough room on the dining room table. That stuff I will notice when I'm by myself, but that's why it's good that I have a child that's with me, you know, 50% of the week, because that keeps me aware of my environment, because I literally just don't pay attention to it.
Right. And I think a lot of people are like that, you know.
When it's just me. I mean, no, a lot of people aren't. I mean, like for instance, your environment is important to you. Mm-hmm. You know, you maintain it.
And even like the house.
Yeah.
I'm always keeping after stuff. Everything has its place, and that's where I want it.
And you have a certain aesthetic that appeals to you, and you like to be surrounded by that aesthetic.
Yeah.
In theory, so do I. You know, when I'm looking, when
you're like, in theory,
when I'm in a store or when I'm on Amazon, you know, I have great ambitions, but then in actual practice in life, you know, that cool thing I'm getting will just be a place where I rest the shirt I take off tonight, you know, before I go to bed.
See, and doesn't IKEA just live on that whole process?
Yeah.
Like, they're like, they make up that thing and everything looks so cool. There,
well, that's the whole point. That's the dream,
home,
you know?
And you're like, oh, man, this doesn't even fit here.
You're like, this looks so awesome, and this is the size of a shoebox. What's this going to look like if I do my house this way?
Oh, and, horrible.
Yeah.
The only reason I asked is because I play music like all the time. Like when I wake up in the morning, even I have 20 minutes that I set my alarm at like 6:20, and I have coffee. Then I start my thing and get in the car. You know, by 7:15, 7:20, it's almost like it's like an hour like before I'm on the road. But the first 20 minutes of that, I'm like having coffee, and I turn on Pandora, which is like, I have it on shuffle. So it's just this mix of whatever, you know, and like the stations I've built. And I just start thinking back to like, when I was a kid, you know, I listened to really aggressive, angry music, but I always had a certain love for some of these bands, the Beatles and Deep Purple and it was in the Fifth Dimension, stuff like that. And it was because my parents listened to it.
Yeah.
So, and I always kind of wondered like if parents, when they're listening to their stuff, and you, because a kid will almost always like that, even if they reject it when they're a teenager because they're trying to be cool,
they'll come back to it.
They will.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things.
And I can relate to that. You know what? I'm a Phil Collins fan. Nobody else on earth likes him anymore. But, and when you look it up, I mean, people hate him. For various reasons, but a lot of it has to do with oversaturation because, like, Phil Collins is the voice of the 80s.
See, and Eminem lives on knowing that edge. He goes away, then he comes back. Yeah. Oh, look, he goes away. He just goes away. Like,
and it's
a cycle that he's developed.
He just completely fades out of, like, people, oh, I wonder whatever happened to him. Oh, he's got a new album coming out.
It's in 4.3 years.
Yeah.
Because that's the sweet spot, and he doesn't do anything stupid. Like he'll do some stuff, I'm sure, but it's not...
It's very low profile, whatever
it is. He doesn't do that crap that people are like, oh, I'm so sick of hearing about this guy.
It's funny, because you think of all the people, like, that he would be one that actually seems to have it figured out, you know? And I mean, not to say anything against him, but, like, when he started out, you know, I kind of hated him, you know? Just because, yeah, he seemed like a...
I've actually come around quite a bit. I like his music. You know, there's this box set out there of his 10, on vinyl, 10 albums... And I'm probably going to end up getting it, you know, and I listen to his stuff regularly. I listen to a lot of rap, but I also listen to a lot of everything else. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like I like rap, but I don't not like rap, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where, you know, he, like, to that point, he doesn't make you sick and tired of hearing about him.
Yeah.
You know.
And I'll say that, you know, I do like some of his stuff. I would not call myself a fan. But... To that end, I would say that he probably is an actual artist. Like 10 years ago, I would have slapped the person saying this right now. But I mean, compared to the way a lot of the other people do things nowadays, because you see it, it's like they come out with something and then they tour, and then, like, as soon as that tour is done, the next album is out. And it's obviously there's a cycle where somebody's saying, okay, you're hot right now. We need
hit
to
hit it while it's hot.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not an artist. That's a trend. That's a business decision.
Being a fad, you know.
We're gonna pump as many albums out, ride you as hard as we can, because we know in 5 years nobody's gonna care about
Cold
you
fish.
Anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
And that was that one they ran when like some supercomputer got turned on at some point.
Watson?
I don't know. Oh. It ran who used the most unique words in their lyrics, and Eminem was the one. Like, over 30,000 words. So, although you hear the same dumb ones over and over, he has much more elaborate...
Well, rap, rap, the lyrics are more important.
Yeah, but,
and they have to rhyme, and...
Some of the dumb ones, though. It's they're just saying cliche words, you know, like, don't be a zero, be my hero, and, you know, and you're like, okay, you're obviously dumb.
I think that's from a Katy Perry song.
I think it's time for some music. Yeah. See you later, Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
My life is hello. My life is hello. My life is hello. My life is hello. Hide the rock the day. Metronome 210.
Nature to destroy yourselves.
Yeah. Major drag, huh?
Oh my gosh, that was... I played four in a row from Lulu Marble's Afro Girl. Now, let me explain that. First of all, Lulu's Marble, I played... this was the album...
Wait, did you say Lulu's Marble Afro Girl?
That's the name of the album.
Oh, okay.
The name of the band is Lulu's Marble. Marbles. Sorry, I'm okay. All like... Blah, blah, blah. And the album was called Afro Girl. So I played Afro Girl, a go-go. Girl, give me love. Hey Mother, and then on this side of the break I played High and Low. This was an odd... This I always talk about this, you know, I blind bought Lulu's Marble at this record shop in Japan. This was in 2011. I go to this record store in Japan, and I was with an exchange student who's grown up now, and she took me to this place. She's like, oh, this is a cool record store, you'll like it. And I was like kind of looking around, and I said, I like... You know, 5678s. I like, you know, a Red Bacteria Vacuum, that kind of stuff. And they kind of pointed over at a bin, and I just picked up this
like,
one.
It was in a corner, dimly lit.
Yeah, it was. And I picked up this one. I was like,
a couple of things scurried away when you touched it. You didn't look closely enough to see if they were mammals or
exactly. Insects. I was like, can't talk. Looking at records. So I picked this one up, and I was like, and I blind bought it. And then I put it in a bag, and I put it in luggage.
And that's a dice roll there, because you're in another country. You can't read the labels on it. Basically, all you're looking at is the cover art and the and the section of the store that it's in.
Yeah, and the album talked to me a little bit, and I was like, okay,
what did it say?
It said, "Hey, buy me," and I was like,
so it spoke in English.
I said, "I will." No, it was kind of a cool looking album cover, and I was like, this might be where I'm at, you know. And I came home. Like a year, like the end of the year, the end of my tour in Korea, and I come home and I was like, oh, I have these. I bought up a bunch of records, you know, and that was one of them. And I played it, and I was like, oh my god, I'm getting everything they've ever done, because I like love it, you know.
And I went from blind purchase to super fan,
basically. And I started doing research, and there's nothing out there about this band, nothing. Like, and I find a couple of they have three albums total. I find the other two and a 45 on the Japanese Yahoo auction site. Right. And I buy those.
There was such a thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I buy those and get them shipped. And finally, I find a scant information, and it said this was a band that came out in 96. In 1999, the lead singer died. That's the end of the band. And I was like, and I cannot find a single shred of anything else about this band. And... I love their music, and you know the three albums that they put out, the progression was like so good. The first one was just like that raw guttural, I want to be the 5678s and I'm gonna do it louder and angrier.
Yeah.
Then the second one was this one, Afro Girl, which is a little bit more refined. And then the third one was just like great. And I was, you know, it was just one of those things. But so finally, I've been playing the other two. It's finally, like this week, I ripped another album that I bought. And now I was like, well, I'm going to rip this one so I can start playing this one too with the other ones. You know, and this is the only band I play that I haven't gotten explicit permission to play. Because I want them to contact me and say, why are you playing my music? Because I'm always so adoring. I don't think they would be a cease and desist. Like, or maybe it would, but because I'm always like, oh my God, I love this band. They're so great. Go out and, you know, get whatever you can get from them. It's just one of those things where finally I got around to being so lazy. And finally I like ripped, ingested it into the computer. It's more of a pain in the butt than you'd think it would be. So I was like, eh.
Well, when it's on vinyl, it definitely is.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So, because you pull it in, you play the whole album, then you like,
you gotta cut a piece
and name each one, cut the next one, name each one. Now, it doesn't sound hard, but it's just,
it's time consuming and it's tedious. And if you screw something up, then you end up messing up a lot. And yeah, I know the thing you're using, it tries to identify stuff, and you like, but because of the stuff you're using, you know, it's not U.S. pop top 40, so it so the system doesn't recognize any of it.
Yeah. So, although I wish I could tell you more about the incredible Lulu's Marble, I can't. And in fact, I go out there and I search on eBay, nothing. Think of that. Like, well, some of those obscure punk bands I had are even out there on eBay. You know,
but yeah, consider they've been gone for what, almost two decades.
Yeah, that's true.
And they were 3 years from another country, and they were only a 3-year span. So, you know, there's probably not really a market for, I mean,
one guy. There's like one guy who knows who they are.
Everybody who wants their stuff probably already has it.
Yeah. It just is that one chance encounter.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the kind of stuff that I think I always kind of, I don't want to say, think it's cool when somebody happens upon a book or a piece of music or just some random thing. And it might not even be good, but to them, it's gold. Yeah. And it's so cool. And like finding that kind of thing in life is really kind of neat. I'm not saying this changed my life, but it was like one of those just random things. And it just turned out to be like, wow, I really love this. You know?
But it's like the Beatles have been gone forever. The reason they still matter, though, is because their music is intertwined within our culture and our society.
It touched
a
generation. Then it became
so much so that, you know, there's a show out in Las Vegas that's dedicated to it. You still hear songs on soundtracks. You still hear, you know, they make movies like Across the Universe that came out about a decade ago that and you use it is basically a musical entirely with their soundtrack. Like, you know, they got to a certain level where the saturation is like Elvis Presley. It's been gone
forever.
They're woven
into our culture.
But, yeah.
Into the world's culture,
and
really.
And even the style of music he did is not a current thing, you know, but he won't go away because it's a, but for somebody who doesn't hit that level, you know,
it's tough.
Yeah.
They're just obscurity. They're founder in obscurity, much like me. It's just, you know, and it's one of those things, I understand what you're saying, you know, because like, I listen to like Elvis. I shouldn't like Elvis music. I shouldn't like Johnny Cash music, but I love some of his stuff. Now, I don't like his country stuff. I'm not a country fan. I don't like country music. Some of his stuff, I consider him more of a punk than most of the punk bands. When you watch what that guy was about, he was rough and angry and just like, he was more of a punk than Green Day. But, you know,
by a country mile. Yeah. Exactly.
but a lot of his stuff was so powerful. I listened to it and I was like, man, this isn't country. This is nothing. It's everything. You know, it's a guy saying some stuff that means something, you know.
But, you know, part of that's also an era thing. You know, like any band that you really hear about today has gone through a corporate machine to get to your ear. And so there's going to be some degree of influence, and whether it's just that the artist knows the shtick to some degree to what they have to do, whether somebody has just stomped them down, basically saying like, look, you want to make millions of dollars and be heard by millions of ears, you got to do it this way, and you know, the crap you want to pull, fine, but not on stage, not here, not, you know.
Yeah, that's true. They have so many rules
and
laws.
By the time it gets to you, there's like the man, so to speak, is so in charge of that. Or, you know, to make it, where back then, you know, what's weird is
who knew?
Like somebody like Johnny Cash did not have to have complete national saturation to be big. Yeah. You just had to have enough people out there that it was, you know, reasonable for record stores to actually
Hell, stock show up and play something out of it in a prison, and they're like, wait, what now?
Yeah.
That's, you know.
And you didn't have, you know, tens of thousands of other people pushing for that big fame, because also they weren't looking to be multimillionaires. You know, these were people like him, when young Elvis Presley, these were people that were just like, I want to play music, and I want to get paid.
I'm good at
it,
I think. Yeah.
And I'd like to make a living doing that. You know, they didn't really start out with aspirations of being rock stars.
And that's a lot of
because there were none. So it was like more of a natural thing for them, you know?
How many rappers do you think come out to be? Like, I just care about rap.
Yeah.
And I don't think...
Well,
half
the music is about, you know, the money, so...
I always thought if you could make... I've said this on air, I think, somewhere, but it was years ago. I always thought if I could make an app that just took out skits and diss tracks and just you could apply that to all rap music, it would spit out the 20 songs that aren't about dissing the other rappers or about skits, because rappers love skits for some reason. And they're funny the first time, but after about four, you're like, I don't need to hear that skit no more.
Yeah.
I could be a millionaire if I made an app that just deleted those and condensed it down to actual music. That'd be kind of cool. I think I should do that. But I don't know how to do any of that I just said, so I guess I won't.
You know, but again, I think that's a part of the culture is the idea, you know, like a lot of this is about ego to some degree, but also getting your name out there, getting your presence known. The problem with that, though, is that the longevity of somebody singing along to something that's about you specifically isn't there.
What's the appeal?
Yeah.
You know, you listen to the last couple albums that Johnny Cash put out, those the American Highwaymen or whatever. No, it's I forget what it's called. There's like five of them. These were at the end of his life, and he knew it was the end of his life. Those albums are almost the most powerful that he's
ever...
It's like
a reflection on everything.
And it was like, oh my God. Every track was more like soul-crushing or uplifting or whatever than anything he'd ever done before that. And he's done... the body of work is over, 50 years or something like that. But those albums are like, wow. Wow. I mean, I feel embarrassed that I don't remember the names of them because I'm talking about how influential they are and I can't remember. But
I mean,
it was like, oh my God. You know?
It's like, I want to talk about that guy that died last year that wasn't named Prince, and I can't think of his name right now.
Johnny Cash.
No, British.
David Bowie.
David Bowie. You know, like his last album. I'll to be frank, I was never really a huge David Bowie fan, and I don't want to be one of those people that like jumps on the bandwagon because he's dead.
But I like a lot of his stuff.
But but I mean, like, half of his stuff I probably wouldn't recognize.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
but you know that last album he put out. Is kind of haunting because he wrote it knowing he was done. I mean, like that he knew that was going to be his last album, and like the way he produced it, where it was basically released when he died. I mean, you know, that's that kind of thing shows a certain commitment to what you're doing.
It's incredible.
That was one of his last living plans. It wasn't like, I want to go to the Grand Canyon, I want to do this. It was, this album is going to be released, and this is what I am going to be remembered in posterity by.
Yeah.
You know, and it...
That's really kind of incredible. You know, when he was... now, I'm like you, I like some of his stuff, most I could care less about. Doesn't matter. He was one that was continually changing music. He changed himself, he changed how music was listened to. He was one of the first guys who put videos on CDs that if you put it in the computer, it would be there. And so he was always looking at what's next, not where am I now, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the genius that you're like, kind of like, it's not unheralded, but it's like one of those things you're like, wow, he really is intelligent.
And he was committed. I mean, this was a passion. It wasn't, I'm getting rich off of this. This was his life.
Yeah. And that's cool. You know? So, we're not going to play him though, cause he wouldn't let us play his music. I asked, but the stone at his gravesite didn't answer, so.
No.
Oh, that's sad.
You smell something, Rabbit?
Fear.
Yeah. A cold-blooded murder. A five-year-old witness. Simple. Savage. A killer's loose. Somebody. If the cops can't find him,
it's gonna all command.
The brothers must.
Now, everybody.
From 20th Century Fox, a motion picture murder mystery.
I just don't understand.
So unusual, so bizarre.
In the name of justice.
Together, brothers.
In the name of peace. But will this killing and fighting ever cease?
Music and lyrics people by Barry White. Vocals by Love Unlimited. On 20th Century Records and Tapes.
Everything they can.
Together Brothers. Rated PG. All ages admitted. Parental guidance suggested. Together Brothers. Right on.
Now, for those who have seen The Exorcist, Carrie and Ruby, here is new unspeakable horror in Nurse Sherry. Nurse Sherry, driven to evil in a strange and gruesome story from the other side of life. It's the year's most frightening journey into the hidden world of the supernatural. Living, breathing terror chills your flowing blood and shocks your nervous system cold. In Nurse Sherry, it's more bizarre, more terrifying than your most frightening fears. Don't miss Nurse Sherry for an evening of pleasure and terror. Nurse Sherry, rated R for adults, under 17, not admitted without parent. From Independent International.
Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the goofy shit on the walls and the mozzarella sticks?
You mean shenanigans?
No! Oh.
You're talking about shenanigans, right?
Put those away!
mama. Well, you can work it on the door. I don't need you, mama. So baby, did you have more? I don't need you no more. So baby, just a little bit at all.
Mocking me, aren't you?
Oh, no, 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 no. Buzz, look, an alien!
Where?
Bah!
I know, everyone. Shock of all shocks. That was the 5678s. The world famous 5678s. I played for you I Walk Like Jane Mansfield, Rockin' Rochester, I Don't Need You No More, and of course, Scream, which is an awesome one.
You ever play Great Balls of Fire on air?
Yes.
Okay, I was going to say, if not,
I love that one, yeah. And that was actually the STA, self-titled album, the 5678s. Of course, make sure you go out and hit up Time Bomb Records. They have an English version of their site if you want to find all the coolest stuff from Japan and kind of all over the world.
And if you're a hipster, just go to the Japanese version and send it through Google Translate.
Or just click around randomly like I did. Aw, don't do that. That's money. All right, that's going to be it for this week. Big Show 200. Thank you very much, Promi.
For
being part of this gala, this celebration of you of life.
Oh, crap, the balloon drop. I didn't even know your ceilings were that high in here.
Yes, they aren't. We're all lying. Illusion of radio. See you next week, everyone, for 201, if you know how to count letters and numbers.